You know, it's something powerful about seeing a black man as bulletproof and unafraid. Come on, y'all. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Streets got mad love for Cage. I got mad love for Cage, man. And he won Oz.
Welcome back to the Lando Calrissian Experience, Luke Cage review episodes. This one we'll be reviewing episodes 5 through, hold on,
8,
yeah. So here we go. The episode, what's your guys' thoughts? Let's go with you first, Ted. Overall from 5 through 8, what was your kind of thoughts on that kind of story? Because everything is crazy in kind of this area.
So we get to say what happened to me, right?
Yeah. We spoiled it. Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm good at spoilers. bad milk, baby. Bad milk. I thought it was good. You know, I thought seven was like a bittersweet ending to me with the Jeff Cottonmouth. I thought he was an awesome character. I thought the actor that played him was awesome. I feel like they really could have done more with him. Throughout the rest of the season, even the season 2, you know, I feel like she just met an early demise for no reason. I mean, I understand they were trying to make it seem like
married you a long time ago.
Well, I guess it shows the ruthlessness of
Albert Wood's character. Couple months to see if you backslide.
Yeah.
Do you want one?
So to show her ruthlessness, you know.
This is true.
I thought
no, he gave him
the way that it happened was kind of weak a little bit.
Okay.
You know, so when she took the mic stand to his face, that's pretty brutal. But the whole him falling out of the window and, you know, him, you know, her being like, I didn't want it. I don't know. It felt kind of just like okay to me. I feel like Cottonmouth has earned a way more honorable death than that.
Well, you think that was the push Alfre Woodard's character kind of a little bit forward? Because when they first released everything for the show, they remember that she was the first person cast saying she was the main villain.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I say that even though I understand why they did it, it was soft in comparison to what could have happened. Because Cottonmouth came off as such a hard character. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's up close and personal, punching niggas in the mouth, you know. Yeah, you know, when they take his money. I mean, like you said, like me and James already put it, he brought a rocket launcher to the hood, G.
Hey, you can't tell me that's not the most gangster thing you've seen in a Netflix series, though.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He brought it, you know what I'm saying? So for this man to get off by falling out of a window at his club.
And getting hit with a champagne bottle in the back of the head.
Yeah, like, I mean, here's the thing. Ellie get hit, but the bottle didn't even break.
Yeah, like, so Sammy didn't even hit that hard, basically. She didn't even hit him that hard, really.
Right, exactly. that's what I was getting at. It was one of those little poof. Like, yeah. So, but other than that, I thought it was cool. In the beginning, I was kind of unsure of Diamondback's character. You know, I wasn't really sure how I felt about him. He seemed kind of tough, but he seemed very one-dimensional to me.
Mm.
Yeah, his whole plot was just, you know, my whole reason I'm here is to kill Luke Cage. That's it. Like,
because your daddy. Well, I guess that's spoiling a little bit. That's spoiling actually a little bit later. My bad, y'all. Anyway.
Your brother, so shit.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll talk about that in the next one. I ain't gonna try to go too far, but Stryker.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, but Stryker, to me, and then I'm not spoiling anything for the next one when I say this. Overall, he seemed like a comic book character more than an actual, the realistic kind of feel of a Netflix series. Like, he felt like a comic book version of a comic book character. Like, his talk is over the top, you know what I'm saying? Like, what you gonna do about that? You know, kind of like you were reading a comic, you know, almost from the 70s, like, watch yourself, son. You know, like, you jive. I was ready for them to say, you jive turkey.
No, it's true. It's super true. It was super weird. Like, definitely was. Like, if you had to, I don't want to say, he seemed like a super fly villain modernized.
Yeah. Mixed with Carl Weathers from Action Jackson. That was Diamondback. Diamondback was Carl Weathers if he was a pimp from Action Jackson.
Hey, that's hella real. Well, he was just. It was just weird because he was like, you know, that's his sole purpose is to take out Luke Cage. But it's weird because the way they set it up is that Diamondback is just. This mega gun runner, drug like he's the man in these streets. You know right. what I'm saying? He's moving all the rest of stuff, and then you meet him. He's like the dog in Up, like just squirrel ball. Like I'm only coming at the Luke Cage. I don't give a fuck about the business. I don't give a fuck about anything else. I'm killing this nigga.
Hold on, I'm gonna pull Jules like, in. Y'all. Yeah.
You say what?
I'm gonna pull Jules in now. Jules? Jules?
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, man? Jules is in here too, y'all.
Yeah, yo.
Yeah, yo.
All right, go ahead. Keep going, Ted. What was you saying?
So, yeah, I think that was the hardest part for me was just the fact that, like, you know, he the man in these streets. And.
And he wears like, purple suits? So,
well, yeah, he got these. Superfly Jimmy Snuka pants on. but that's his whole thing. Like his whole goal, the only thing that he sees is it's okay. You know, like, bro, like you got a whole business to run. But it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right, James, what'd you think of episodes 5-8?
I agree with Chance for the most part. I've been kind of really been taking in what he said. The way Cottonmouth died to me was very anticlimactic. I'm not even going for it. It kind of sucked because I did rock with Cottonmouth. Like, especially after they kind of explained his backstory, you kind of find out he actually, like what I kind of said last episode, like I kind of said, that you can kind of tell that he likes doing it, but he doesn't like doing it. And then when it kind of broke it down even further, that about his childhood and how he even got in through his because of his grandmother and uncle or whatever like that, and you found out Mama Mabel, who pretty much is Black, pretty much the comic book version of Black Mariah for the most part.
Y'all know that Samuel Jackson's wife that played Mama Mabel.
Oh, really?
That's Samuel Jackson's wife.
Nah.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's his wife. But keep going.
Shout out to Sam J.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, he did a good job, man.
Sam Jack is getting all the Marvel paper. He was like, look here, so I'm not going to be in there for a minute.
Fine,
but man, I got a wife. My wife, you know, she can go ahead and, you know, slide her in there and everything.
Nick Fury and Mama Mabel.
Yeah. Because actually, they could keep Mama Mabel popping because your season two, they can keep doing flashbacks with her. So that's no problem with keeping her on board.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That could definitely go. But anyway, with Mama Mabel's character, you saw how ruthless she was and how she just, like you said, the episode, how you saying Cottonmouth, not like how Ted said, now he had 11 foot and then give not one of them when you shot that damn missile and couldn't damn shot. You see where he got that from, because you see Mama Mabel, yeah, you know, so when she cut off dude's fingers,
yeah,
like it was like casually, I'm like, damn. Like, I'm like, okay, this bitch ruthless, you know, excuse my language, but that's what she was.
Yeah,
but, you're right, she cut your 11 finger off just to make you suffer so she can shoot you later on.
I'm like, God. Like, that's crazy. And then you also got the fact that you see Cottonmouth was actually a good kid. Like, he tried to be a good kid. He tried to keep his uncle really tried to keep him out of trouble. He tried, you know, getting piano lessons, trying to take him to Juilliard, which is some expensive and some well-renowned and respected shit and expensive shit at that too, you know, trying to make sure he get a good education. And you see, he pretty much got cheated out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and Mariah got all of it. And you see where, you know, Cottonmouth, he said, I pretty much was forced into this shit. I didn't even want to do this. And, you know, you see that dynamic that I brought in the last episode when I was talking about. And like I said, in the way, I agree with Ted, like the way he died, that the face beating, yeah, that was due to his shit. But like the way how it happened, like leading up to it, yeah. That weak ass bottle hit, like, because if you really want to hit a nigga with a bottle, and them bottles are thick, shit.
It's going to splash all over the place.
Right. And so, you know what I mean? Like, you have to keep that in mind. And like I said, you know, he pretty much had to crawl away, you know, pretty much, like, helpless. I'm like, just falling out this window. I'm like, man, y'all could have did something better than that. Man, y'all could have gave my man something better, like Ted said, man. You see what I was talking about more, Darren, when I said you see more of Shades, like how I'm saying he's Littlefinger.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely is the Littlefinger type character in this whole thing. He really was pulling a lot of strings.
Right, so you really see kind of what I've been speaking about when he's like, yeah, he's that's Bayless, 100%, yeah. Just in Marvel. Like, 100%. And so you see how he kind of like helped manipulate Mariah and molded her into the Black Mariah character that's, you know, that she eventually become. And that's wild in its own right. And like you said with Diamondback, yeah, Diamondback did have that kind of like, yeah, motherfucker. I'm like, all right.
I mean, I believe like, you, dude. I mean, you're shooting people with an assault rifle in broad daylight. I believe you that you ruthless. Right. I believe you're ruthless. I didn't need that, you know. And you were and you were in a box haircut, you know, still with the pointy end. I believe you that you real.
Right. You got the booty badass slash Big Daddy Kane going on.
Yeah. He actually looks like Cage. But he actually looks like a Black Guile from Street Fighter. Like the way it was like his hair is pointed out, you know what I'm saying? Like his box is all pointy. I ain't never seen a black man with that pointy of a box though.
For America.
Yeah, I've never seen a black man with that pointy of a box. Steve Harvey is jealous of him right now.
He looked like the missing member from Troop, dog. Like, damn.
Shout out to Steve Russell, the lead singer.
Damn, real, man. He did. And it was just, I don't know. I liked him, but it was, like you said, that dude was extremely over, like, he was almost like, he was over the top, almost like show nuffish.
That's what I was just going to say, dog. He is definitely was show nuffish, man.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't know if y'all ever watched Boardwalk Empire, but if y'all ever watched Boardwalk Empire, I watched all of it. Shit is amazing.
I need to watch. I stopped at like episode 3. I just kind of, it wasn't a reason. I just got caught up with other stuff.
Yeah, he actually is a character on Boardwalk. He's actually like a secondary character on Boardwalk Empire, a dude named Don Pernsley. And he's pretty much the same character he is in Boardwalk Empire. Is the same character he is as Diamondback.
So he's just a fucking over the top actor in general.
I think this nigga's just over the top at all. Because I was like, Don Pernsley? And I just referenced, like, let me look at his IMDb just to be sure. And I was like, yep, that's him. And I was there. I just watched some more. I was like, no, we'll get into next episode. But it was just like, oh, I bet he's going to be the same type of nigga. And then when he started talking this show, I'm like, oh, this nigga. I was like, yep.
You know what he reminds me of? And I cannot remember this dude's name, but he reminded me of the black dude that used to be on Designing Women, just trying to act up.
Meshack Taylor.
Exactly. He reminded me of a tough Meshack Taylor.
Wow.
It's what's even crazier though is that he's named him and his brothers are named after all those brothers the brothers from the biblical Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Him and his brothers are all named after each one of them.
In real life,
yeah. Awesome. But also, Jules, what'd you think about episodes 5 through 8?
You know, honestly, man, I thought it was dope. I mean, I didn't really study on it. I just watched it straight through, so I'm jumping in on the convo.
Yeah, what? Yeah. We talk about everything from basically Cottonmouth being killed up to Stryker coming in.
Yeah, that kind of threw me off with Cottonmouth getting killed. I didn't realize that was that episode. But yeah, that kind of threw me off a little bit, man. I didn't think he was going to get taken out. You know what I mean? But
not like that.
It was kind of like, oh, snap. But I guess they had to show this chick is crazy. I mean, you know what I mean? But what's her name?
Mariah. Yeah, Mariah. Well, Alfie Woodard.
Yeah.
See, the thing was, though, I think they could have made Cottonmouth and turned him into a Harlem Milt Wilson Fisk, where they basically ended up in jail together or something. Like,
that would have been dope.
You know what I'm saying? Where they plotting on some, you could do that with, flip it with the Defenders, where they doing some stuff inside and they both then linked up or whatever, you know, on the inside, him and Wilson Fisk or whatever. Like, well, I'm going to have Uptown, you had Downtown. You know what I mean?
It
and like, kind of
deeper,
like that.
Though, deep work. It could have went so deep as to say, just because we got to get to know this dude's background, which was crazy. Like, I think James said it, you know what I mean? He was a good kid, or Ted said it. But, you know, that part of him could have came through at some point in the development of his character a little more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you kind of see that side want to come out. You know how Smallville, Lex Luthor always had that side that always wanted to come out? Like, I love you, Clark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they could have really played on that character. So when they took him out, I was like, oh, snap. You know?
Yeah. I mean, because like, they made him sympathetic like they did with Fisk. Like, I was like, oh, snap. You start sympathizing for him like Wilson Fisk. Like, man, dude, this dude been through a lot, man. Like, yo, like, maybe he ain't as bad as we think he is. You know what I'm saying? He's just a victim of his circumstances, like Wilson Fisk was, you know what I'm saying, in a lot of ways. But they took Mariah over the top, though. Like, And thinking about it more and more, Mariah, I think that they were trying to say basically that she wanted to be in the game so bad, but almost felt jealous that Cottonmouth was in the game and she wasn't. Almost like a reversal thing. They wanted each other's lives to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he wanted to be the one that was going to private school and stuff, but she wanted to really kind of be in the game, though.
Yeah, she was robbed of
it. I didn't get that feel. Like, I felt like,
now, I got it when they kicked her out the room, and she was like, I got to go. Remember in the flashback, they kicked her out the room, like, you need to go. And she's like, what? Like, no, you can go study and get out of here.
Well, but here's the thing. I don't think that she was trying to be in the room. I think to me, Mabel Mabel was doing that just to toughen up Cottonmouth. I think that's really all it was. It's like, you're trying to make him to fit her ideal version of what a male is supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? She was kind of like the person that was supposed to make it out of the hood, you know, be legit, whatever, which is why she was kind of always downplaying Cottonmouth when he would talk about that. Like, she was like, you know, I'm in the politics. You know, I don't do this drug shit. I don't do this street shit. Mm-hmm. That's you.
But I think that's what she wanted to do, though. That's like somebody that's constantly like,
I don't think that's what it was. I don't think that's what she wanted. I think that she was okay with him doing it as long as she was benefiting from the front time. Like, the FaceTime, being like, you know, I'm changing the hood. Because all of her speeches always talked about changing Harlem. You know, bringing it back to the woods, the Renaissance period.
Part of me think that's a front, though. Because I looked at her like as the dude that is like a dude that's maybe a legit dude, but he got money, he running out the back with dope and stuff. Kind of like a Stringer Bell. Like, basically, Stringer Bell. That's what I always said.
I just think their positions were inverted. Because how Cottonmouth was forced into the street, now she's being forced into the street as well because of her actions and who she hung with.
But
I don't think that was ever her original intention.
But I think the whole point was when Shades was manipulating her, I think that was the whole point of, like, that was always in her. She wanted to be in the game so much, she just repressed it. That's what the whole thing with Shades kind of manipulating her.
I don't know if that was ever the point. I thought it was just the fact that with her being a politician, she's always had a foot in the game in the first place. I think that's what they were alluding to. Because,
but then why was Chase constantly bringing up Mama Mabel? Like, well, you know, Mama Mabel would have did it like this. You know what I'm saying? If you was Mama Mabel, you could. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like she brought that up not because wasn't they wanted to be in the game, because that was her and Cottonmouth's upbringing. Like, if Mabel Mabel is supposed to be considered tough, or, you know, you're trying to act within the same vein as Mama Mabel, you know, this is how she would do it. And honestly, I think that's why they used to always get into it, because they weren't trying to be Mama Mabel. You know, it was them versus their legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cottonmouth was always trying to be like, yo, you know, that's why we felt the humbleness or felt somewhat sympathetic towards him, because him being brought into it, him not really even wanting to do this shit, but having to because of the family he's a part of. And it's kind of the same thing. She don't really want to be a part of it. It's cool. Like, I'm a politician. I'm trying to bring Harlem back. But whenever they bring up the namesake, now it's like, fuck, man. Now I got to live up to what the fuck Mama Mabel and all the rest of them did before me, because they've already created this legacy before me, so I kind of have to live up to it.
But a part of me is like, if she didn't want to be a part of the game, she could have pushed herself and went totally away from it and not even dealt with it. But she always wanted to dibble and dabble in it, though.
Well, I don't think she dibbled and dabbled. I think that she liked the attention. With her moving into politics and her being the one that to single-handedly turn around Harlem, I think that was always her goal. But you can't do that without capital. Where are you going to get capital with from that size if ain't nobody fucking with you or fucking with Harlem? It's got to come from Cottonmouth, which is why they were always at, you know, talking shit to each other like, yo, you keep that street shit away from what I'm doing. I got a reputation. Like, that's it. She constantly repeated that. Like, yo, I got a reputation. Keep that street shit away from me. You can do whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I know what you're doing. Everybody else know what you're doing. Just don't tie me into that. Mm-hmm. And all that went sideways when Luke Cage busted up Crispin Attic, because that was her shit. That's her office. And all of a sudden, he pulling guns and money out of that motherfucker.
So you think that really Luke Cage really tipped the scales for every, like, is Luke Cage the impetus for all this stuff to be popping off, really? Like, because if he wouldn't have ran up in Crispin's attics, if he wouldn't have did this, would things have just been running smoothly, kind of like? Or do you think all this would have came to a head at some point on that side of the game?
No, I think it would have been running smoothly, because they weren't having any issues.
But Stryker was still trying to get Luke, or do you think that he only found out that Luke was around by what he was doing?
I think that's what happened. I feel like once Luke popped it off with the Crystal Addis thing, it brought this shit into the forefront. Actually, probably even before that.
No, it's after that, because Shades ended up figuring out who he was. And that's when Stryker said, I'm going to come.
No. I think Diamondback figured out who the fuck he was when the building shit popped off. When Cottonmouth hit that nigga with a rocket and he was like, yeah, he ate it. He was like, all right, cool. Somebody throwing cotton at me, whatever.
But Stryker didn't know that he was invincible at first, right? Oh, no, he did, because he came with the gun already ready to roll.
He came prepared. That's what it was like. He knew.
Yeah, he came there. Yeah, he had that gun.
So I think when Luke Cage finally hit the news, you know, busting out of this, you know, 20 tons of rubble after blowing up this building unfazed, I'm like, oh, okay, you resurfaced. I've been looking for you. Cool.
And that's what, like, I need to go in town. I need to roll in town real quick.
Yeah.
So you think he knew before Shades or anybody else knew? He had already peeped game.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they were speaking about Diamondback, like he was, you know, he knew about stuff before they were hitting and all the rest. I mean, think about, like you said, the bullets, all the rest of this alien tech is all coming from Diamondback.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. My nigga had a suit ready.
Freshly pressed.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He had the super suit ready for Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So he knew. He just didn't know where.
So you, but he didn't know Luke Cage was bulletproof, though, did he?
I don't think so.
That's, no, he I learned about so. That, though. No, because nobody knew about Luke, though, period. Luke was on the low.
Yeah, because those bullets are actually not meant for Luke Cage. They're meant for, like, armored vests, all that sort of stuff. Those bullets are made for more than just Luke. I think the fact that they could penetrate him, you know what I mean?
But this is my question, though.
That's the case.
But you know, but no,
because if he didn't know that he was Luke Cage and not bulletproof, why would he bring the? Why would he feel the need to bring those bullets in the first place, considering the price?
Well, he was the gun runner, though. He's getting them at wholesale rates, so it's as good to test them out.
That's my point, right? But think about it. Why would I waste a bullet I could sell for $1 million? If I could kill you with a bullet that I can buy at Walmart.
Well, see, this is the thing, though, Ted. He wanted to prove that it worked, for he could sell it to the city. So, what better way?
It already happened. No. He already proved that it worked.
Yeah, but no, but what other better way is to do it on a metahuman? Or, you know, do it on a person?
He already proved that it,
He only proved it worked on a human. He didn't prove it worked on like these superheroes that they were already scared of and like Hell's Kitchen and stuff like
that.
Yes, I mean, we find out that later on, though, that they were scared about the that's the reason they wanted to buy them weapons.
But
remember the part with City Hall, where City Hall and that whole thing with the Punisher, Daredevil, all that stuff was.
But that goes against him knowing that what's his name was bulletproof. So that means he knew that Luke Cage was bulletproof. That's what I'm saying.
No. I said he knew. I said he figured out at some point he was bulletproof. Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think he knew until Cottonmouth with the missile launcher.
Like, I feel like he knew already.
I feel like
he knew that, but he did. Luke Cage, because if he
because they didn't even mention. They didn't even mention the rocket launcher until then. Until later, like the rocket, not the rocket launcher. They didn't even mention the better booster after the rocket launcher didn't work. And Cotton was like, "What I'm gonna do?" Go, Xander.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, well, but the,
okay, go.
I feel like with him Xander, having go, access go. To all this alien tech,
go, Xander. You know, Xander, go. I'm recording, Xander.
On, he has, especially if Luke Cage has always been the goal, that he has some sort of. I don't think those bullets just all of a sudden just got made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To work no, it's like, that's tech. Hammer tech. No, you know that's what's tech now. So that's always been the case.
My wife was saying those bullets and all that stuff was made for all of them.
Yes, made for all the metahumans or whatever, right?
Yeah, because if you think about it, New York had that issue with the event in the first one, and they keep reflecting back to the event, you know. So it's definitely something that got ready, you know, for all, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who had the money to get it all.
So then that was going to be the push regardless.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I think he was trying to give it a test, like a test, kind of a field test. Like, yeah, they really do work. Look at what I did to Luke Cage.
Well, I think that.
And I get to kill the dude I want to kill, and I'm going to make money.
Well, I think it's just the way the dude was positioning. It was like, if it's meant for metas, period, then it was going to be going across the country.
Right, but where are the place to test it at in New York first with the New York Police Department? You know what I'm saying? The biggest police department in the country. Everybody else is going to get it. Everything that happens to all the police departments in the country are a reflection of New York NYPD, period. Like, historically. Okay. Like just to take y'all historically back, and Jules and all I'm talking about, when Pappy Mason and them cats killed that cop in, that wasn't in Harlem, that was in Queens. That made all the cops the whole nationwide. That the war on drugs, the police getting more equipment, the police being more proactive went nationwide with that, from that one cop in New York being killed. Mm-hmm. So think about if he was able to get the New York Police Department to buy these bullets, that means next Philly gonna buy it, DC gonna buy it, Atlanta buying it, mm-hmm. Chicago's buying it, you know, and just on and so on, you know.
So you're just saying you don't think that he knew until the rocket launcher.
I don't think he knew. I don't even think he knew who it was, period, until people were cheering and everything and saw him coming out and he was on the TV and in the paper. Because nobody knew who did the Curtis Addicts at first. They just was like, this dude just walked up in there with a trash can and just was messing up people. I don't think he knew he was bulletproof. He just, and then he saw his picture and was like, no, this can't be. This is what was his real name? What was Luke's real name at first? Lucas? Was it Lucas?
Carl Lucas,
right. Oh man, it's Carl. God dog it. Get Shades on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. You don't feel like that's hella random though?
No, man. Dude, anything that happens in New York, you gotta think about, like, if I'm in any other city, any other place, anything that happens in New York, I'm gonna find out about it wherever I'm in the country in general, if I'm reading a general newspaper. And a dude.
I'm saying that, but I'm saying, like, you don't feel like it's hella random that the guy that's already pushing these guns and whatever in New York City happens to be...
He's not in New York City, though. He's somewhere else. We don't know where he came from. He could be anywhere, coming from anywhere. He came in town. He could have been overseas with the guns. I mean, I even think he might have been overseas with the guns. I'm like, I got to get back in the country, man. I got to get Carl, and I'm finna get paid off when these bullets get popping or whatever. And a part of it, he kind and maybe, and this is the thing with Shays being like Peter Baelish, is maybe he was getting, he wanted to maybe take over Cottonmouth running too, though. Like, I'm just going to take out the middleman and run New York myself and put Shays in front.
They had already alluded to that, though.
Right. Because, so is Shays even loyal to Mariah, though, is the question.
No, I mean, I never think that. I just feel like he always been snaking, but I'm saying, like, I just feel like, so Diamondback is basically the gun runner for the region. He's already connected. He sent Shays in after the debacle that happened.
With the guns and the
Right, exactly. His stuff ended up missing, and then shows up with all the proper equipment to take out Luke Cage, suit included, but didn't.
No. Suit came later on, though, Teddy. Remember, he had to go to the warehouse and get that suit. So I don't think that suit was already there. I think that suit had to get shipped in.
No, I don't. It was.
I don't think it was. I don't think he had that suit at the beginning, because he would have dropped the suit at the beginning. I think he was waiting for a suit. Like, I didn't shot this dude a bullet. He didn't pop back after a week or whatever down in Georgia.
No.
Whatever.
But that's my point, though. I'm saying, like, to me, I feel like he knew Luke Cage was bulletproof because the suit is built.
But nobody who knew who Luke was, though. Nobody even knew who Luke was, though. That he was Carl. Nobody knew that. Except for Pop.
Yeah, nobody knew that.
Pop was the only one that knew.
You said who?
Pop is the only one that knew that what his real name was.
Right, well, no, in New York?
But nobody knew he was bulletproof either, though. Remember, as soon as he got his powers, he dipped out and escaped. They thought he died in the middle of the ocean, remember?
Yeah.
Remember, they like, I thought you was about at the bottom of Seagate, a bottom of the ocean in front of Seagate.
Right, that's what Shade said, but
that's what everybody thought. Shade, look, if it be like, because okay, Diamondback works for Shades works for Diamondback. Shades was in jail with him, so if Shades tell you like, yo, he tried to break out and he's in the bottom of the ocean, that's the only thing I'm gonna be able to believe. Like, I'm not psychic then to know that
Diamondback been looking for this dude since adolescence.
Right, I got you. But what would you know how he looked though? Think about it. He cut his hair. He did all this different type of stuff. Like, how would you even know that we even were ever looked for him? He's from Georgia. Like, and he pops up in New York. That's not something you would know. That was a coincidental thing. I don't think he knew that was Luke Cage at all. Nah, Luke Cage is a below the radar. Remember, he owned that bar for X amount of years, maybe even in Jessica Jones.
What I'm saying is, I feel like he knew that something, though. I mean, especially with all that data that was on Reva's thing.
Yeah, that data on Reva's thing, nobody knew about Luke. That all got destroyed.
No, we don't know that. That's what I'm saying. But how do you even know what else is out there? So what I'm saying is, we don't know. So the doctor thought all the information was lost. Okay, mm-hmm. Reva has it. So we don't know what else is floating out there. I'm just saying the likelihood of this dude coming in with the bullets, because here's the
thing. Why didn't take him out long before that, though, Ted? This is like 3 years. That happened at Seagate 3 or 4 years before this even jumps off.
Because he had to find Luke Cage.
I don't even think he thought he was dead. No, because he did. I think in the thing, I thought you was dead already. I think he even said that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody thought he was dead. Everybody thought he was dead, man.
So what I'm saying is, it's weird that he shows up with bullets. Because when you think about it, he didn't need any bullets to kill this nigga. I mean, he didn't need the suit.
I don't think the suit was the first option, Ted. I think that he got that on the back end, Ted.
That's my point. That's what I'm getting at. The suit was the second option.
Right. I think he had to. When he was like, "This ain't working. I gotta go to option B."
But it wasn't. But that was the thing. It wasn't that it didn't work. It wasn't that it didn't work.
But to him, it did, though. He doesn't know that he went down to Georgia and got healed up. He doesn't know this dude just popped back up and he's ready to go.
Yeah.
You're going off of information that we know as a viewer. You got to look from his perspective. Luke Cage gone for 3 days. I think he dead or he bleeding out somewhere. He popped back up.
That's my point. So what did you just say? Say it again.
that he was. I'm thinking he's bleeding out 3 days, 3 or 4 days, however much time he's in Georgia.
So this nigga is not bulletproof. So this nigga is supposed to be bulletproof. He's bleeding out somewhere.
But he was, though. No, he was internally. He was internally bleeding.
That's my point. He's bleeding out. That's my whole point.
Right, okay.
He's bleeding out from bullets. So I know that either he's supposed to be bulletproof. He got shot with a rocket. Nothing happens. I shoot him with a bullet, and he's bleeding out.
But I know that it explodes on the inside of him. You know what I'm saying? No, no. Right. I asked for, like, because after he comes back, there's a 4 or 5 day period that passes. So I'm like, oh, this dude is back, and he's fully in full control? Oh, man, I got to go to plan B. Let me pop to this warehouse and get this suit that I had on the back end.
That don't even make sense. That don't even make sense.
Yes, it does.
You know what, though, Teddy? I think, Ted, the thing that you're forgetting is you have to look beyond Luke Cage's episode itself because the universe ties into everything else.
That's now. What I'm looking at. I'm looking at Jessica Jones, stuff like that, too.
Everything that they're doing is prepping for something big. You got the kids selling the DVDs of the event. You have every story being told. So, of course, you got to, if something's going down in New York and your money's getting messed up, you got to go in there with the big gun. Because you're thinking Hulk is coming, the dude with the silver hammer, you know, all type of.
But he's not, but Diamondback.
Damn, I ain't even, you know, I ain't even necessarily, I know, no, he is concerned. I ain't even think about that part, Jules. That you does, you had.
Why would Diamondback be concerned?
Because you does, because you got Captain America, Hulk, like you said, and Thor running through the city already, like, just in case when these dudes kind of run up in Harlem and try to stop me.
They brought that up in the series though. They were like, yeah, these guys are starting to pop up on lower blades. They even said it that nobody's seen what's it called since the only people that even really they talk about the incident, those guys leaving, and then they talk about Daredevil.
Right, but you got to think about it. But like Jules, you got to think about it from Diamondback's perspective. He may say he's over in Italy or something on some yacht, and he's watching Thor throw somebody through a building or whatever. Yeah. And he like, dang man, my money may not be sitting there right. I need to get something to combat these, just in case they try to come up on my guns and stuff. Because they the Avengers, they taking out anybody bad. And then you hear about them taking out Hydra. He probably knows that they're taking out. You know, all these evil people with Hydra and all that type of stuff. Dude, you see some dudes that got some aliens, and you like, I need to get me a suit.
But that's my point. They're taking out aliens. They're not taking out the people who are taking out the low.
But I don't know that.
Daredevil.
Think about it like this.
The main thing you got to keep in mind, like, and I noticed this, especially when they start talking about a whole lot, is they use the hammer industry tech.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you use a hammer industry tech, if we all remember,
that's for Iron Man 2. Yep.
The Iron Man 2, right? And that's who's his main competitor?
Hammerbit.
No, who's his main competitor?
It's Stark Industries.
Yeah, Stark Industries, right.
So you gotta remember, right. So he goes on trying to battle with Stark level 6. So really if you kind of think about it, like I kind of agree with the fact that, you know, if you know it's some shit out here, like you know it's a nigga out here that can push the shit out of a damn skyscraper level dragon in the goddamn sky. A nigga with a magic hammer. You know what I'm saying? You gotta come with some shit like that. Then you hear about a nigga that just happened that lifting up that's like going through like whole security field, lockdown, shit that's not even supposed to be even moved.
Even deeper though, James, think about this. Hammer Tech Energy doesn't exist no more. So all this equipment that came from them is probably on the black market right now. That's how he probably got his stuff.
And let's not forget too, it's probably, you remember that, I think Hammer Tech had the warehouse in New York at that time.
Yeah, they did.
Iron Man 2 was based right out of NY and Queens and all that. But the one thing too that's important to remember is that dude knew he knew about what you call it running through that through the fort.
Right.
One man, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you talking about Captain America?
He thinking somebody, man.
Yeah, he's ready for war in general though, Ted, I figure in general.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. You gotta
and that's the thing, like I don't really the series, like the talk and the language, didn't bring that.
You gotta look at the totality because, like, my thing is, like, if he wanted to get Luke already, he had Luke on that bar for like 2 years or something, though, or whatever. And Jessica Jones,
low key with it, though.
Right? But I'm saying, Ted was saying that he knew that he was already in NY.
No, I'm saying he knew. No, I'm not saying he was in NY. I said I knew he was bulletproof.
See, I don't think he, I don't think nobody, because nobody knew that it worked. Remember, the scientists didn't even know it worked. Remember when he popped back, he said, oh my God, it worked. Mm-hmm. Nobody even knew it worked, because when he popped back, nobody knew it worked.
And who's to say if that shit worked then? And you gotta remember, when it's, well, no, let me not say it. Cause,
yeah, I know what you're thinking about, but, and everything on the last episode. I already know where you're going, James.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he's injured, you know, and then when you find out clearly how, because clearly he has to make it all the way to the end. Basically, you find out what happens after the fact. You're like, huh, would that kind of work again?
Well, yeah. No. And I see what you're saying, but I guess for me, the timeline in which stuff happened, like, again,
they made Diamondback is a bigger character than we actually are giving the credit. The more to having this talk, the more I realize what they was trying to do at Diamondback, because he's a bigger thing than Cottonmouth. Like, Cottonmouth is your street player, just Harlem. Diamondback plugs you into a world kind of database. When you're bringing up HammerTech Industries, that made me just think about it. Like, that makes it a bigger thing though now, because now he could be connected to Hydra. He could be connected. You got this. You got basically that scientist is the same scientist that worked on Jessica Jones and all of them. He's a part of that same group. And what's the dude that was taking them pills in Jessica Jones?
Oh, you're talking about Nuke.
Yeah, like all that stuff is connected. So homeboy is connected to that too. You know, with bringing in stuff and everything too. So he, and Diamondback is a bigger scale character than Cottonmouth is. So maybe I can understand why they killed him. I just don't like old boy that played him. I just don't like old boy that played him. I just contend with that. I don't like the guy that's playing Diamondback. They could have got a lot more people to play Diamondback. That'd have been smoother.
Yeah, like, and Daryl, the way you're saying it, I'm just now thinking about it. I agree with you on that. Like, I can see where you're coming from with that statement about how they're trying to play with Diamondback as the character. Like, I see what you're talking about. I see where you're going with that. Because I've been thinking of a similar thing, because I'm thinking back myself, like, damn, how the hell did he get his hand on Hammerhead? I'm like, wow.
Because it's all black market right now. You got to remember, they got shut down.
Right. Right, but I'm saying for him to bring that high level, like that high grade military, like straight high, that ain't like regular military, that's like high grade, like experimental stuff. You know what I'm saying? This is experimental stuff. This wasn't technically, I don't think, and I can, please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think this was technically released out as an actual weapon. I think this is like a prototype weapon.
Yeah, no, it is though, a prototype. Nobody, that's why I think he was testing it on Luke Cage though, kind of too though. Like, we know it works on regular human cats, but the real money is on be at if it can kill one of these metahumans real quick though. Like, if it can pop one of them, I'm finna get paid worldwide.
And I'm popping someone who's straight.
And I can get
to being hurt.
Yeah, and I'm somebody I already dislike already. Well, I'm gonna go hard.
See, but here's the thing, though. I don't know. And here's the thing. I feel like I understand what you're saying, and the only reason why I feel like there's something else at play is because even when the dude, what was the cop that was up there in Jessica Jones that showed up in?
That's what he's talking about. He was talking about you talking about the cop that showed up.
The black cop.
Oh, that's later on.
Oh, right. Okay. But
you mean the DA? You mean the assistant DA dude you talking about? Or are you talking about the cop?
Nah, he's talking about the DA.
Okay.
I know he's talking about.
I don't want to ruin it. Yeah, that's later. So we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I was thinking of what I was thinking.
Because, I mean, the thing, like, and the more and more I think about it, the more and more it is a bigger thing. Because you got what they're saying, that Sigourney Weaver is supposed to be playing a member of that lab as the main villain for the Defenders of that lab that homeboy's from, that the dude that's, you know, for that's gave Luke Cage's powers, the one that gave Jessica Jones her powers. Like, she's going to be over that whole lab. So that'll kind of, to me, connected everything together. You know what I'm saying? Like, how... Mm-hmm. The only way they could maybe shoehorn in where Teddy would be right is somehow Reva was working with Diamondback somehow. We already know she was snaking on him, but maybe that's the only way
that was the thing I was trying to allude to, was that. I think that's why that scene with him at the doctor happened, because she lied the entire time.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that he was dealing with the most, was that he was like, well, you know, she didn't know about the experiments going on at the jail and other records. And she knew everything. So you don't know. You don't know what she knows. You don't know what she kept secret. You don't know who she.
Damn.
Who
you know what? You know what? I'm. This is gonna be confusing now because maybe he did know. Now I'm thinking about it. I know I'm flip flopping, but I'm just trying to give it both sides of credence, because you got to think about Reva knew about them fights and everything going on, right? Or whatever, right? That was going on at the prison. Am I right?
Right.
She knew about that. Diamond Shades was in his homeboy was running those with the cop. That cop knew about him being set up. So did they know that they were sending those people from those fights to the testing labs? So maybe he did know that he was going to try to get him. Maybe they thought he died though still, but knew he had, if he did survive, he had something. Well, but no, I don't see Diamondback wanting him to. I guess you can get. I can see Diamondback wanting to have be tested on to get those superpowers too. Like he would want him just to die.
Depending even on the connection, depending on just how deep Reva was, because wasn't Reva the one that told her to go see, like, or hooked us up with the doctor?
What you mean? She's like,
so knowing that that after all that explosion happened, the only one that could really figure out how to recreate all what's going on is this doctor. And here, Luke Cage, though, not mind you, it does happen because of him being shot by Diamondback. But that even works even more to the plan, because if Diamondback's trying to get those powers, that's the only way it's going to happen. Because Reva's the only one, either Reva or somebody else is the only one that has access to all that stuff, and the doctor's the only one that can recreate it.
And now, more and more you think about it, though, now you feel sympathetic for the Purple Man and why he killed Reva, too, on the low. Think about this. I know why now. The same lab that Reva worked for is what was doing work on him.
Oh yeah.
Now y'all see that now connection? Like that's why he was pissed off. She was one of the people that worked for that same company.
Right.
That was doing experiments on him.
Makes sense.
You see what I'm saying? So now, like, Luke Cage is all messed up, really, man. He ain't got no friends, man. He ain't got no friends.
He ain't got no friends at all.
I wouldn't trust none of them chicks. From Misty Knight, none of them.
Shit, really? I think the only person really, like, on his side, you can kind of tell for real, is technically really is Jessica Jones, because she's not in the Purple Man control anymore. She was on his side the whole time.
Yeah, because Night Nurse, I don't trust her because she like Daredevil too much. Me and this white boy going to have to fight over her, man, at one point. So I can't even, trust that. You know what I'm saying? You know, she may even have a thing for Jessica Jones on the low. We don't know how this woman be flowing. But maybe this show is way more complicated. I might need to reevaluate it a little bit more in my mind now since we kind of really talked about it. My overall was going to say this is where I think the show went downhill a little bit, like where I started to not feel it as much from these episodes.
I think we all felt that. I feel, but I don't even know if it's necessarily due to the writing and even more so. Yeah, like, you know.
And who's to say Marvel didn't step in and was like, I mean, we love Cottonmouth and stuff, but we need to get this storyline connected with the Defenders and whole MCU with the Diamondback situation.
I honestly think that what we were all saying before was the real reason. Because there's outside of Cottonmouth, that was really the only real way to legitimize Black Mariah.
Is by having her kill him.
If she has to, in order to for anybody to consider her an actual threat or to do something crazy or, you know, what have you. She killed the only person that was basically, you know, raised to help protect her. Which is that whole scene that happened when they were younger. The, you know, something, I forget, when he walked in and had to pop his uncle.
Yeah.
They were like, well, where were you? We over here, the such and such going down. You're not even here to protect the house. It was all with the uncle over at in Spanish Harlem. He was over there talking to the Latinos, and which is what tipped off Mama Mabel. That dude was fucking on, you know, trying to.
Y'all know those are the same Latinos that he was doing the guns with too, right?
Right, exactly. He said that he was kicking it with Domingo or whatever.
Yeah, that's the same family or whatever on the other side from the boxing place, right. Which is full circle. It's hilarious. That's kind of dope that it went full circle like that. So overall, we're gonna wrap it up. But overall, what y'all, what grades? Let's give everybody give a grade on these sets of episodes.
I'll probably give it a 7.5. I would give it an 8, but they took my boy Cottonmouth, man. I wasn't really happy about it.
No, man. I mean, they need to bring back Cottonmouth for somehow, man. Like, they got to, they, I mean, that'd just, I mean, but I guess that's a part of being dope death, though. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of, yeah, they blew it because they got us to understand his world. Like, that's crazy. And then take that out. Man, could have did more with that one, you know?
Yeah, you really can.
But shout out to his name is Meshack Ali, like Meshara Ali. His name is like super. His real name is like super long, but like
he got a super long, like a super long black man. Bro. It's like Marshall, it damn near looks like El Haz and Louis El Shabazz. Like no bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, he ain't lying. Like, he ain't lying.
Like no.
But Oracle, like, what do you give? What you give the show though, man? Over for a grade for this block episodes.
I'm gonna have to agree with Ted, man. Like, I'm gonna be a little bit generous. I'm gonna give it an eight. And only reason it could have been better is because it could have been better if they didn't kill Cottonmouth. Like, I think they killed him off way too soon because it's just like, man, and the way they killed him, I think that's probably like what kind of got me more than anything. It was like, Come on, for real. Like, I do appreciate understanding his backstory and understanding him more as, like, you know, him. Like, you understand him more, like, damn, like, I'm in this situation. I gotta make this work. Like, I'm a victim of circumstance, basically. Like, I got, like, a Michael Corleone-esque kind of thing going on. Like, I'm a victim of circumstance. Like, I don't want to do this shit, but I kind of got, I literally got forced into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Nino Brown, like kind of like Nino Brown was in the New Jack City, where you was like, this dude is a psychopath that sells drugs, you know. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, you got to actually find the background on, you know, this Nino Brown-esque character or whatever. Because basically, I mean, what, Cottonmouth was loved in the hood. He all up at the pan for the funeral and people still dapping him up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though he was indirectly the cause of what happened.
Yeah.
Jules, what was your overall grade? But is that this block episode?
I'll give it a 7.
So you giving it a C? Yeah. Like, if you have given it a grade, you giving it a C?
Yeah, I'll give it a C. Kind of threw me a little bit. I'm not a fan of, what's his name?
The dude that played
going too far in.
Dynamat.
Yeah, I was a little over that. There's a couple of things I got issues with, but, you know, we'll get in deep on that one later.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. Y'all know I wasn't feeling it. I'm going to give it a B. The Cottonmouth death, man, that was this. I mean, that may be one of the worst deaths in TV history, man, besides Stringer Bell. And but I'll say this, is that after I looked at the whole series of The Wire, I understand why Stringer Bell died. So that's the only reason I'll give it a little bit of pause, because I don't know how everything's going to play out. Maybe that death, and like we said, we'll see Mariah do some extra crazy stuff, and she would have never got to this point if she didn't kill Cottonmouth. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she kills, you know, Misty Knight or something. Shout out to Misty Knight. She stole this series on the low. Like, she's the starter. It should be just called Misty and Luke, because she stole every scene she was in the whole series. But yeah, I'm gonna give it a B. But yeah, we're gonna be back next week with wrapping it up and giving thoughts going into the Defenders, Luke Cage season 2, with the next episode of this. Email us landocalpod@gmail.com. Let us know what you think on these episodes, and we will catch y'all on the other side. Peace.